Hey everybody, welcome to It's Raining Mang. I'm Ben Pasco. Thanks for listening to It's Raining Mang on itsraininmang.com. That isn't repeatable. And CSTC Network, and I don't know, I'm sure someone torrented this somewhere. That's really when you know you made it. Anyways, the first half of the show that we got for you is with Mike Roach of Interspecies Wrestling. We sit down, we talk about Ganymania, we talk about how Interspecies Wrestling formed. And the second half of the show, it kicks in at about 38 minutes or so, is me, Brian, and Fitz sitting down and talking about our favorite Rumble memories. But the intro this week is a long one, and it's like a minute, but it fits in Interspecies Wrestling. It's the best cartoon ever. And I hope you like it. Okay, thanks, bye.
Another time and space, a parallel universe is falling on its face. When out of the chaos, who else could it be but the animal adventurers from SPACE? Bucky!
Captain Bucky O'Hare!
Mutants and aliens and toads, beware! You're looking for adventure, well this is it! We're Jenny, Jedi, Blinky, and Willy the Wind. I said
Bucky! Captain Bucky O'Hare!
I'm gonna play on Bucky O'Hare and the Toad Menace.
In the battle of the universe, you don't know what's next. You only know amphibians are made it complex. When you check out your scanner and the evil that it bodes, there's only one course of action.
Cook us some toads!
Bucky! Captain Bucky O'Hare!
When an ordinary rabbit would dare, if your righteous indignation has suffered a hit, and your photon accelerator's broken a bit, and you're losing your mind, and you're having a fit, get the funky fresh rabbit who can take care of it.
It's a Bucky, Captain Bucky O'Hare.
You say Bucky,
that's Bucky O'Hare.
Let's croak us some toes.
Hey everybody, welcome to It's Raining Mang. I'm Ben Pasco, and join me on the line again for a second interview, because the first interview was so good that my computer refused to record it, is Mike Roach. Hey, Mike.
Man, I gotta say, it's so depressing that no one's gonna hear that, because it was, what, like 90 minutes of greatness?
It was 90 minutes of greatness, maybe 10 of which was actually about Interspecies Wrestling.
Seriously? 25
minutes about the Fright Night remake, and there was a whole half-hour discussion about who would Van Damme want to fight more between Chong Li and Tong Po.
Which I brought back tonight on another show.
Yeah, and it was Tong Po. Like, I was wrong. Tong Po, Van Damme would want to fight more. Because he fuck my Li good fuck.
It's true, man. You bleed like my Li good fuck. Which means he not only fucked her, but he made her bleed.
Well, the original discussion, though, was who would win a fight, Chong Li or Tong Po. And I still think Chong Li, because Tong Po was in Bloodsport and he got beat up.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Without a doubt, Chong Li is the man. Of course, considering the fact that he was like 60 years old when that movie was made and he was still fucking people up and smashing bricks. Actually, no, he didn't smash bricks because he said brick no hit back, which means he wanted nothing to do with a brick because Chong Li likes to get hit.
I think in my everyday life, anytime anyone has a inanimate object, I just reply with whatever name the inanimate object is, don't hit back.
Dude, I love Bolo Young so much that I figured out that I wanted to marry my wife when one of the first gifts she ever bought me was one of those cheap $5 martial arts DVD sets from Walmart, and the cover is just Bolo Young posing. And, like, there's a whole bunch of different Bolo Young movies, including Blood Fight, which is a movie about a martial artist named Chung Li or something like that, which is not supposed to have anything to do with Bloodsport, but people say it's, like, a prequel, even though Bolo's covered in fucking fake tattoos in it.
All right. Well, I guess with the winnings from the Kumite, you can get laser surgery.
It's like Chong Li with a Sharpie.
Aw, man, he's still alive, and he gave an interview saying no one's been... The only closest person to Bruce Lee was Van Damme. That's what Chong Li said in an interview.
That boy's on some drugs.
But we're not here to talk about Bolo Young or about Jean-Claude Van Damme. We're going to talk about Interspecies Wrestling, or we're going to attempt to, because if our last podcast is any indication, we will not get anywhere near where the ground we should cover.
We'll probably cover the bases. Like, last time we covered the basic stuff. Nobody will ever hear it, but we covered it.
For people who aren't aware, how did Interspecies Wrestling start?
You know what? I'll go even further back, and I'll tell you, like, the very, very beginning.
Oh, we're getting the scoop here.
Yeah, and it's stupid because I'm not even like a huge Kevin Smith fan. I don't like most of his movies. I enjoyed maybe like Chasing Amy, Clerks 2, Mallrats, and Red State, and the rest can fuck off. I was watching An Evening with Kevin Smith. I messaged a worker buddy of mine, and we were talking about the part where Kevin Smith speaks about working on a new Superman movie with Tim Burton, and Tim Burton wanting the heel in the movie to be a giant fucking robotic spider. And my buddy, who was a worker back in the day, Pat the Highlander Hamilton from old IWS, was like, oh, I want to wrestle a giant spider. and I made the comment, it would be 5 stars on 8 legs. He laughed, and of course, because we're fucking nerds, we started copy-pasting those comments to all of our friends to see what they would think, and nobody laughed except my friend Valerie, who then proceeded to start writing fake pro wrestling cards that were really stupid with me. For example, stuff like this wrestler, Kurt Lauderdale, who is famously known for crushing a girl's skull and being in prison for murder right now. Well,
no big deal.
Well, this was before the fact, kind of like a, I don't know, if like a prelude to what actually happened, maybe. We had him wrestling a pile of dead babies in a flaming table match. Beef Wellington versus an actual goat in a ladder match. And the crazy thing was that the actual goat was somehow going to go over. I wanted to do Twiggy, his old partner, porn star Juan, and I don't know if it was like Shane Hawk or Player Uno as Snap, Crackle, and Pop. And they were going to wrestle a big bald guy dressed as Mr. Clean. So it was going to be like just, you know, like a weird product placement kind of match. When trying to figure out what to name the group, you know, if we actually put these shows on, we came up with like a spoof of NWA TNA. It was NWA DBA. No, it was NWA DBW, which stood for Niggas with Attitude, Dead Baby Wrestling.
It's still good the second time around.
Like, and then after that, like, we just shortened it to Dead Baby Wrestling, and we were going to start a promotion called Dead Baby Wrestling because we realized that booking crazy matches like this with stupid gimmicks would probably get over up here. So we were like, you know, why not capitalize on our genius? Eventually, my friend Valerie was writing about what Dead Baby Wrestling would have been. Bloop! And
what's up, Xbox? You need to go to bed now.
Xbox!
Xbox!
You think you could tell it what to do?
I got every game I ever wanted.
X-Factor. But anyway, when she was writing this like release about what it was going to be, and she used the term, it was like either interspecies combat or like interspecies battles, and I was like, yo, it's interspecies wrestling is a really cool name, and we called it interspecies wrestling, and you know, since then, it's just, you know, it's what it is.
Now, the first interspecies wrestling show, how long has it been, about?
Yeah, the first show was in, it was on August 26, 2005.
Jesus Christ. You know, that's, I think when I first started talking to you way back when, I think you were the first guest on, like, Tope.
I was one of the first guests on
Tope. You were one of the first guests.
I think I co-hosted an episode.
You did co-host an episode. You know, I remember, like, I saw that first, like, DVD, or I saw the first, like, trailer I was just like, oh, it's that Canadian company with the Mindless Self-Indulgence song, and randomly Mike Quackenbush talking about Ahmed Johnson at the end. What was it? You know, Interspecies Wrestling's really come a long way since that first show, and this is my segue to mainly get you to tell the Skyda story about the Skyda, the food Skyda likes. I'm not even going to get a segue, I just love this story.
Man, I won't even...
fuck it, I should have just got right to the point.
One of our old partners at the beginning of Interspecies Wrestling was this Lebanese guy named Eli, and his mom catered the first show by cooking up a ton of Lebanese food. There was like hummus and tabbouleh, a whole bunch of stuff, and like a ton of pita bread, and there was like a sandwich platter, like muffins, cake. We had a giant spread backstage, and everybody ate like kings. Like, most people would eat like, you know, like a plate, maybe two, they'd be done. But every time I came downstairs into the locker room, Skyda was filling his face with hummus, hummus and pita bread. And from what I heard, he was being like, oh, this is good, like, you know, because he doesn't speak English. And I just asking people, I'm like, yo, like, is he eating all the food? And Jigsaw was like, yo, man, what do you expect? He's a fucking Mexican. Or something like that. And I was just like, wow, man, what's that even mean? You know, because actually, I think Skyda was the first Mexican I ever met, you know, being from Canada.
I don't think that's not a thing. Like, just, like, as far as I know, that's not a thing that Mexicans like to eat hummus.
Maybe it's like Middle Eastern burrito to them or something.
Like, I never hear it be like, man, you know what they say about Mexicans? They really like food. It's like, ah. It's like, man, those Polish people really like to breathe.
Somebody also made a crack about him possibly storing food to send home to his family.
See, that's a thing. That's definitely a thing.
But Skyda must have really liked the food because when I went to a show in Philadelphia the next year, he recognized me.
Did he say, hummus, Raj,
just,
hummus.
He just said, hi. And he was wearing a Danzig shirt, I think. He was wearing, what? Like, I don't know if it was Danzig. Actually, no. It wasn't Danzig. It was that fucking dude, Blind Rage.
All right. That makes way more sense than a Danzig shirt.
But it was like a Danzig shirt, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was just missing wolves and cat litter.
Did I tell you that I wanted?
Whoa.
Did I tell you about my cat that I might be getting? Oh, I might be getting a cat, and if it's a boy, I want to name the cat Macho Man Randy Savage. And that's going to be his name, as in when I call him, I'll be like, Macho Man Randy Savage, come here. Or if it's a lady, I want to call it woman. So I'm like, woman, over here.
When I was a kid, I wanted to name my dog Buckwheat. My dad told me that if my dog got away and I started yelling after Buckwheat, black people would probably beat me up.
When we got our dog, we were trying to remember names, and I was pissed no one would call it Jushin Liger. Like, I was like 8 years old, I was like, this is bullshit. Except in like little kid speak and not in swearing.
Ah, Jushin Liger. What a man. What a man. What a mighty good man.
Jushin Liger was, he's like one of my favorite, he was my favorite wrestler without ever seeing him wrestle. Because, I'm going to segue this to interspecies wrestling, he had a cool costume. And he looked awesome. And I was just like, it's like, this guy's he's a Power Ranger, best wrestler ever.
Well, the first time I ever saw Jushin Liger was also the first time I ever saw WCW. My grandfather used to tape random wrestling for me. And one time I went over to visit, and he handed me this tape of this wrestling that I'd never seen before. Because my parents didn't like pay the extra money to get like the Turner channels or anything. So I just watched Maple Leaf Wrestling and a ton of like WWF Superstars tapings, which always ended up being pretty much the exact same thing with just different backstage promos. You'd see the exact same jobber squashes, but you'd see different backstage promos. Anyway, I went there and he handed me this tape and he's like, you gotta watch this because, you know, it's all these guys and like you've never seen them before or whatever. So I just put it on and I watch it. I saw like Tommy Rich against Big Josh. And
what a classic.
Yeah, it was awesome. I saw Sting for the first time. He actually the first time outside of like an After Mag I saw Sting. He got attacked by Lex Luger and Lex Luger screwed his knee up, and the rest of the episode was based on Sting making his way back from the hospital because he escaped up like against doctor's orders so he could fight I think it was Ravishing Rick Rude in the main event. But then there was this match for the light heavyweight championship. And I always thought that the light heavyweight championship when I was a kid was the stupidest name in the world. It's because like why is it called that? It's because they're heavyweights, but they're lighter than the other heavyweights. They showed this vignette. It was like Jim Ross, and he's like, the winner of this match will take on Jushin Liger. And then they showed this video of like this dude in Japan with this fucking crazy gear beating the shit out of Chris Benoit. It just like blew my mind. And the music was like, sounds like music you'd hear during like a Muay Thai fight or something. But yeah, it was the coolest thing ever. And of course, Johnny B. Badd lost to Brian Pillman, which set up the first Brian Pillman versus Jushin Liger match, which was amazing.
And I think I caught maybe like the tail end of one of those, and I was like, that's the best wrestler I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he was so cool, man. I also loved the NWA World Tag Team Tournament back then, where Team Japan was Dr. Death Steve Williams and Terry Bam Bam Gordy.
Is that the one where Gordy and Williams just absolutely kill like these dudes from like South Africa?
Yeah, dude. And
I think
they won the whole tournament, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Like I didn't see all these things live, but I had the PWI Almanac when I was like a little kid. So yeah. Like I know so many results for shows I never saw. Just because I would just read that thing when I was pooping. And I'd be like, I'd be like, oh man, what about the time PN News had teamed up with Big Josh? And I'd be like, all right, well, I know every PWI 500 ever. Vince Goodnight, Mr. 500, 1999 or something.
Pooping is the best time to read anything because you know no one's going to disturb you.
Yeah, well, when I was like about 14 or 15, like I would go in the bathroom and like I always, when I go poop, I take my time. But my dad would get so pissed. He'd be like, what the fuck? Like, you're taking forever. Like, Dad, just goes, yeah, sure you are. And then I didn't realize till about a year ago. Oh, my dad thought I was jerking off when I was actually just pooping. Like,
that's like me. I used to take like my Game Boy in the bathroom, you know? Let me ask you a question related to pooping.
Okay.
Do you ever poop in like public bathrooms?
I've gotten better at it, although I avoid it.
Now, when you do it, are you like me? Do you go straight for the handicap stall?
No, I don't. I'm always paranoid that a handicapped person is going to come in the bathroom while I'm in the handicap stall.
Wow, I thought you were going to say that you'd catch something off the toilet seat and become handicapped.
No, mine was a lot more. No.
But, like, I don't know, man. I feel like it's, like, the first class of pooping because you get, like, more leg room and more elbow room and, you know.
I go straight for the first stall. Refuse to sit in the middle stall. I hate that. It's the worst.
Yeah.
I also went to college, so pooping in a public place is like, I shared a bathroom with like a whole floor of people. Like,
Bro, I was a janitor at a university, and it was the worst time of my life. It was crazy though, because I was young and there was hot chicks. But when they closed down that hall, I had to clean the chicks' bathroom, and those chicks were not so hot anymore.
I remember at one point I was staying in my girlfriend at the time's dorm. And so, like, the way their bathroom is where you need a card. And so, she was on all-girls floor, so I was, like, she was on the fifth floor, so I have to walk all the way down. I was like, fuck that. So I started going to the bathroom. Like, I'd walk in the bathroom, I heard a girl poop while I was in there. And I was like, oh my god. Like, I was like, this isn't happening. I'm going home. Get me out of here. I would, like, hide my legs when girls came in the bathroom, because so they didn't see my hairy-ass legs and get scared.
Girl poop sounds disgusting. I've noticed that girls fart a lot louder than guys, and it's pretty hilarious.
I've only heard one girl fart in my life. And it was in her sleep. It was in her deprived. Sleep. It was in her sleep, and it was adorable.
You're deprived.
Because I woke her up, I'm like, you just pooped. She goes, no, I just crashed my car. I was like, what? And she's like, I just really pooped while I was sleeping. Farted while I was sleeping, right? I'm like, yeah. Because she poops while you're sleeping. That's not a good story.
So this is
very similar to the first episode.
Yeah, it is. We're just kind of trailing off. But yeah, Interspecies Wrestling. I'll get the plug out now. Interspecies Wrestling presents Ganomania this weekend. It's not Gianomania. We're not celebrating Gianna Michaels or her prolapsed asshole. This is not prolapse wrestling. It's Ganomania. It's going to be live via iPay-per-view, interspecieswrestling.com for more info, or ISDub on Twitter, whatever works for you. It's going to be sweet. It's only $5, so even if it sucks, you probably shouldn't feel too ripped off, you know?
All right, well, staying somewhat on the subject, one of the notable things about, I'm just going to call it Gianna Michaels Mania anyways, is that there's a lot of new talent debuting. Jody DeMilo, Dustin Beaver, Ja Rukin, and Leon St. Giovanni. Did I get all of them?
Yeah, that's them. I love that you call him Ja Rukin, because now I'm going to think of Ja Rule.
His finisher is murder.
Murder.
He wins every match via murder.
One of the things that I said one day, and for some reason it's still funny to some people to this day. I don't know if it will be to you. But you know that movie, what's that movie called? Wrong Side of Town with like Rob Van Dam, where Batista shoots Ja Rule in the head?
Yeah.
For some reason, I just pictured Ja Rule loving Batista and singing to him and being like, what would I be without Batista? And like, when I said that shit, people cracked up.
Why is Batista so jacked? It must be the gas.
What would I be without my baby?
Ja Rule sucks.
Oh, man.
Like, top five worst rappers ever.
It's funny, because it's almost like he tried to make his voice sound like DMX's without the barking.
And
it just didn't work for him, because he was a pussy rapper.
Like, I hate 50 Cent, but 50 Cent had so much. He was just calling out Ja Rule, being like, you're doing shit with Ashanti. Quit trying to act like you a thug.
Hey, man, 50 Cent's fucking crazy. Who else is going to get shot 9 times and not die?
Dude, I watched the documentary about rap wars called Beef and Beef 2. And
of course it's called Beef.
Yeah, but like 50 Cent's so scary, and he goes, I've been shot 9 times. He goes, what do I care? Like, he's just so serious, like, I don't care if I die. Like, what do I care? I've already seen death. And it's like, oh my god, do not fuck with 50 Cent ever.
Yeah, that's right. You could find him in the club, bottle full of bub.
Terrifying human being. I hate 50 Cent.
I think the worst rapper in the world is Eminem, and I'll never forgive him for that song. What was it, The Way I Am, where he rhymes, I am whatever you say I am. If I wasn't, then why would I say I am? You just rhyme the same word with the same fucking word.
I think Eminem's, like, top three all time. But other than that song. Well, that's just me.
Whatever. Rappy as crap.
Oh, man. Bobby Duncan Jr. He was the best part of that group, clearly. Anyways. So what can you tell me about some of the new... I'm assuming Bobby Duncan Jr. will not be at Gianomania or Ganomania.
Which is way too bad, because he'd probably fit in very well with our roster of zombies. Where would I be without my Bobby? Holla, holla.
Sorry, bro. What can you tell us about the new talent coming in at... because Interspecies Wrestling has been pretty good at finding people that, you know, obviously, like, from New England, I knew about Frankie Arion, and now the world is beginning to know how awesome he is. And you guys find something like that, some like Dan Barry, who I hadn't really heard of, who's making moves. So what can you tell me some of the new talent coming in?
Well, Dan Barry, you just mentioned, couldn't make it up this weekend. Neither could Twiggy. He'll actually be in California for the Air Guitar World Championships. Addy Starr couldn't make it. So we had to find some replacements to basically fill spots on the card, but they're not just like there for the purpose of filling a spot. They're actually people we've kind of had our eyes on. Leon St. Giovanni is a guy out of the, I think, the New Jersey area. I know the only time I ever seen him wrestle live was for Beyond Wrestling. And he had one of the better matches on that show with, I think the guy's name was like JT Dunn or something. Jody DeMilo was actually recommended to us as a replacement by Addy Starr because her and Jody have had these seriously like brutal matches where they just leave welts and bruises and blood all over each other. So Addy was just like, all right, well, if my tough ass can't be there, here, take this bitch. She's probably going to do some serious damage to a cow on Friday. It's going to be some real ground and pound beef. Yeah, maybe she'll put him in a torture rack of ribs. Maybe hit him with an utter cutter. Anyway, and then you got Dustin Beaver, who is just...
best gimmick ever, best person ever.
The kid's making the best out of a bad situation, you know? He was born to look like this fucking douchebag, so he's just, you know, he's working the parody shtick. It's only proper to book him on a show where there's probably going to be a bunch of young ladies in the audience. You know, he's coming to Interspecies Wrestling looking to steal some wins, looking to garner some attention, and probably take get some pussy.
Yes, the fact is that an anime convention is appropriate.
He's going to be knee-deep in the pink. Bitches are going to throw pussy at him like Frisbee.
And I mentioned earlier on another podcast we did that Lloyd Cthulhuwitz is going to just tear shit up with all the tentacles he's got.
Fuck yeah, tentacle rape, bitch.
Tentacle rape is going to be...
He should be working the chick. I'm going to rework the card. Yeah, well, fucker.
Well, the chick won't have a say in the matter because it's tentacle rape, not tentacle, oh, let's do this.
Yeah, it's not tentacle consensual sex.
Yeah, have you figured out what the gay sex thing at the show is yet?
No, okay.
Interspecies Wrestling. Well,
I feel like, well, not this time, but...
potentially another time.
Glad Bad is not around. Yeah, looking at the schedule, there is a seminar going on in another part of the Congress Center called Gay Sex 101, about an hour into our show, so...
Are you sending someone over there to figure it out?
Probably not.
What did you get yourself into, Raj?
Oh, man. I ask myself that every fucking day. It is ridiculous. Gay Sex 101 at the same time as Interspecies Wrestling.
I like the sigh at the end.
And the sigh isn't because I'm against homosexuality. I love gay people. One of my best friends is gay. It's just kind of hilarious. There's a seminar called Gay Sex 101.
Like, why is it
what the fuck does anime have to do with gay sex? Seriously. I mean, I always thought that Pokemon and all that shit were kind of fruity. Come on, you're going a little far here with the Gay Sex 101.
I just figured it's pretty self-explanatory. It's like, oh, you put this thing in that thing that's a part of the thing you already have. It's like, you're just doing a thing, but it's your own thing. Just look at your own thing in a mirror and just do that thing to that thing.
Yeah, it's like, hey, look, you see that outlet on the wall? I'm going to put this plug into it.
Like, vaginas are complicated. Buttholes are pretty simple. It's like, okay. This goes in, goes out. Like, that's it. There's no finesse to it. It's like, oh, this goes in there.
Vaginas look like Predator without his mask.
This is true. A friend of mine had strep throat. Just sent me a picture of it, and I was just like, "Are you sure this isn't your vagina? Are you sure?" Like, I'm pretty sure it's like the same thing when you look really close.
Sometimes I feel like I'm just gonna look at a vagina and be like, "You are one ugly mother," and the vagina is gonna say, "The vagina is gonna say back, motherfucker," just like in Predator 2. All
right, I don't want to be controversial here. I think Predator 2 is better than Predator 1.
Really? You think...
I like Predator 2. I saw Predator 2 before Predator 1. I like Predator 2 more.
My wife, I tried to make her watch Predator. I think she watched maybe fucking 10 minutes of it before giving up. She just thought it was the most boring thing in the world. I can't honestly disagree. I mean, if it's your first time seeing it in, you know, 2011, you're probably going to think it's boring. But with me, it holds, you know... Like it's special because it was around when I was a kid and I love movies like that.
It's like a horror movie too, just like dude picking people off. Like
I thought the new Predator was great, man. I think Adrian Brody is fucking awesome.
Oh, I loved that one. I loved that movie. I can't believe people hated it. I thought it was awesome.
Dude, you know who hated that movie? Player Dose.
I thought it was like the scene where the Yakuza guy fights the Predator, loved it.
We went to a dinner before Stinky the Homeless Guy died. We all got together and went out to dinner with him. I was lending Player Uno my copy of Predators because he'd never seen it yet. And Dose just picks it up, looks at me, and yells, "What is this?" I'm like, "It's Predators." He's like, "You liked Predators?" And I'm like, "What? Say it again. Please say that again." He's like, "You liked Predators?" I'm like, "Yeah, I thought Predators was a great movie." So now we kind of rib him with the Predators thing. Nah, it was a great movie. I thought it was really cool.
And who's that giant Russian dude in it?
Oh, Oleg Taktarov.
Yeah, he's awesome in it.
Former UFC fighter. One of my favorite memories from UFC was him against Dan Severn. And Dan Severn had him, like, down up against the cage. And this was when anything, like, was allowed in UFC. And he was just kneeing him in the face. Just kneeing his face, kneeing his face, kneeing his face. And Oleg Taktarov just has this straight face look on his face while he's taking these knees. Taking him. Then all of a sudden, you actually just see a cut open on his head. It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen when I was younger.
I don't think he's one of those guys who, like, there's like a generation of MMA guys who I never saw fight, but I just know them from being in the movies. He's probably like the number one guy. It's like if you're a UFC fighter back then, it's either you retire, you fight in crappy cards, you become a pro wrestler, or you become an actor in action movies.
Well, if you want to see him in something that I thought he was really good in, there's this movie called 15 Minutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he is in 15 Minutes.
Where he's one of two Russian guys who get a video camera, and they basically go on a crime spree killing people and filming it.
I love that movie. That movie's awesome. Dude,
it was a great movie.
That was like the last good Robert De Niro movie. Oh, he's the one who always has the camera, right?
Yep, it's true.
Well, Oleg Taktarov will not be at Interspecies Wrestling.
Which is too bad.
Soon. I know.
I think that the thing that we're lacking is a giant Russian.
I can't think of any giant Russians off the top of my head to suggest.
And Mark Henry. The WWE can keep Brodus Clay. They need him.
Brodus Clay is the best. I was at my friend's house the other day watching Raw, and her 2-year-old son started singing Somebody Call My Mama. And I tried,
oh my God.
I tried to like adopt him. I was just like,
how old was that kid?
He's 2. He's 2, and he's walking out going, "Somebody call my mama." And then Brodus Clay goes dance, and he just started clapping at the TV. I was like, oh, man, wrestling's awesome occasionally.
You should just wife her and become that kid's dad.
I'm thinking about it. Like, I got a text the other day where I woke up at, like, I got a text at, like, 9 o'clock in the morning the other day that just said, "Does Brodus Clay go into Ernest the Cat Miller's entrance theme?" And I sat there, and I was like, I've made some good decisions in my life that people are coming to me with questions like these, and I went back to bed.
I miss the days where I could actually focus and watch wrestling, but now I have, like, pro wrestling ADD, and the only shows I can really watch are live. I mean, if I'm watching a wrestling DVD, it'll probably take me, like, 2 or 3 days to get through it.
Dude, I can't do it either. I remember I used to get, like, back when I was huge in Ring of Honor, which, because of Jushin Liger, by the way, to bring that full circle, I used to, like, get the DVDs, and I had to sit down and watch it from beginning to end. Dude, I can't even begin to think about doing that now. Any DVD I get, I'm just like, let me watch the match I want to watch. There's always half the matches I never end up seeing. I can watch the TV show because it's a TV show, and I can just half watch it. But, like, I'm trying to watch all the Rumbles right now. That's still a struggle.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, I remember the Royal Rumble when I was a kid being my favorite pay-per-view, and it's one that I still watch to this day, to be honest. I remember, like, last year my brother saw his first Royal Rumble. My brother's 11 years old. And he was just, like, going fucking crazy. And it almost helped me, like, recapture my love for the Royal Rumble, you know?
Oh, so and, good.
Yeah, so I'll probably watch it with him on Sunday. I mean, I don't know very many of the people that are actually left in WWE anymore. But it's still cool to watch because, you know, somebody's got to take that Taka or Paul London bump for sure, you know?
I was looking, when I was looking back, there's always one guy, like, Billy Gunn was one of those guys who'd be like, I'm going to skip the apron and just go right to the floor, if that's okay with you.
Billy Gunn is, like, one of the craziest bumpers ever.
I know!
He makes everything look so fucking good. You know who else is, like, an amazing bumper? Is Goldust.
Goldust was, Lawler just, I was watching 97, Lawler takes, just goes from, like, goes over the rope backwards and at no point touches the apron and just goes right to the floor. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Lawler's a madman.
But yeah,
Lawler killed Andy Kaufman.
He did kill Andy Kaufman, according to Tom Savini. I like how Interspecies Wrestling, there's a little bit of Memphis in there with the ridiculousness. Except you guys aren't playing it 100% straight like they did.
Yeah, there is for sure. I mean, like, I don't know. It's rowdy. It's crazy. It's, you know, anything goes in your face bullshit like Memphis was with the crazy gimmicks and whatnot. I mean, we're not bold enough to go for the Christmas creature, but we'll give you a rapist tiger.
It's just like Memphis on steroids.
Yeah, there you go.
And Coke.
It's,
And more coke.
It's like, actually, it's more like, it's probably like a hallucinogen, you know? Like, this is Memphis seeing crazy shit.
Like, this is what Jerry Jarrett sees when he drops shrooms. Like,
you think he actually does that?
Oh, I don't think so. Jerry Jarrett, I don't think so. I could see Jerry Lawler doing it once. Jerry Lawler seems like he's seen some shit, but he just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Jerry Lawler's done some things in his life. He, like, owned a town for, like, 20 years. He still, like, runs that shit.
Yeah, he's done some things, like,
yeah,
little kids.
He's done some stuff that he's proud of.
Or not.
Yeah. Jerry Lawler raped a girl.
Made Brian Christopher.
Oh, yeah. That's, like, something you should not be proud of.
I don't know. I thought he was cool as shit. I loved the beginning of the WWF light heavyweight title tournament in 1997 when it was like Scott Putski and Scott Putski, Devin Storm,
Ace Darling,
Jerry Lynn. Yeah, Ace Darling.
Tajiri was in it.
As Tajiri Yoshihiro in his little blue tights. Taka Michinoku. I actually saw one of those matches live at a Raw, and it was like the coolest thing in my life. I remember taking the bus to that taping and being like, oh man, I really, really hope that Taka Michinoku is going to be there. And then I actually got to see Taka Michinoku against Devin Storm.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was the coolest shit ever, dude.
And then
coolest
I liked how Brian Christopher and Jerry Lawler, they never just, like, they just would never say it was his dad. Like,
that was awesome. He looks like me. But didn't he say he was like his younger brother or something?
It was something like that. And then I remember when they squared off in the Karate Fighters tournament. It's like, why don't you go cry back to your mama? I was it's Jerry Lawler's, I don't know, girlfriend, wife. Did Jerry Lawler ever get married? Does anyone know?
Yeah, the cat.
Thing? Well, like, I know, well, the cat wasn't his mom. I'm assuming.
I can't believe that the cat's married to Sin Bodhi.
That's so weird.
It is so weird. It's like, she's got to be like 80 years older than him. Actually, wait, she was probably 12 when he married her, so. I mean, Lawler.
I think they're doing, like, wrestler wives with her on it. You know,
are you
like,
serious?
You know they have the basketball wives show?
No, I don't know any of that shit.
Oh, well, they have like a show where it's like, oh, okay. Well, like up down here, they have like Real Housewives of Orange County, Basketball Wives. Like, they had one like that was like Motocross Wives or something. I guess
it's like Mob Wives.
Yeah, I guess they want to do one with Wrestler Wives. I think it's supposed to be Booker T's wife, her, and someone else. Maybe Tracy Brooks.
They should do Wives Wives where it's just a bunch of lesbians.
I can't think of anything other clever than Wives Wives. How about Housewives? Just about normal people cleaning the house like they should.
Wow. Barefoot and pregnant.
Yeah, barefoot.
Lock 16 and pregnant.
With a chain.
We barefoot and pregnant.
My super sweet 16. I want my super sweet cake when I get home.
Fucking bitch.
Alright, Roch, we're gonna ask some questions that were sent to us by the readers. Steve from San Diego wants to know, what is your favorite interspecies wrestling match?
My favorite interspecies wrestling match would be the tag match from Hot Summer Rubdown. It was El Generico and Twiggy taking on the then team of Zombified and Is He Dead Yet. It was just, I'm not a huge fan of tag team wrestling, but I could definitely get behind good tag team wrestling, and this was good tag team wrestling. You know, you had the team of El Generico and Twiggy, you got teacher and student, so these guys know each other well, they work together very well. And then you got them against two zombies. So the gimmicks are there. The wrestling's there. It was just basically the perfect interspecies wrestling match.
This is a tweet coming to us from Poutine345. Roch, what are some of the plans for interspecies wrestling in 2012?
Some of the plans are basically to try and get through this Friday.
Short-term girls.
It's going to be different, you know, because the crowd's not really a wrestling crowd. I mean, we've got, you know, a few, like, I don't know how many like local fans will come to this, because for some reason fans from Ottawa don't want to go to Quebec for a wrestling show, even though this portion of Quebec is literally 5 minutes from Ottawa, just over a bridge. I don't know if it's their provincial pride or what, but so I don't think we're gonna garner too many of the local wrestling fans. So we're gonna have to do some real crazy shit to get these anime people to love us, which isn't hard because the Noahs is to love us. But
I'm telling you, Lloyd Cthulhu is just walking around.
Oh yeah, he's just gonna have like 8 vaginas hanging off his face. I don't know, it's fucking like Wilt Chamberlain.
Just a raffle drawing. Winner gets an evening with Lloyd Cthulhu's tentacles.
He's gonna have like a beard made of pussy. And 2012. Well, we'd like to get some good shit in before the world ends, that's for sure. Montreal's probably out of the picture because our last show in Montreal was very dismal and did not draw, and the atmosphere itself was just very heartbreaking. So we might just leave them off the schedule for this year. I want to look into some new cities. It would be cool to run some new cities. My goal in life is to run a show in my hometown. It used to be Philadelphia, but, you know, that's not really an option anymore, which really sucks. And I'd definitely like to do some more Danbury stuff, and maybe we'll see a sequel.
Thank you, whatever that name was that I said that sent us that tweet.
I think it was Putin345.
Putin345. Thank you, Putin345. Nice profile.
Putin's disgusting.
Putin. Never had it. I don't know why you put fucking gravy on fries. You put ketchup on fries.
Wait. The weird part to you is the gravy?
Why, what's the other part?
Cheese curds.
Oh, I didn't know there was cheese curds involved.
Okay, I like cheese curds, I like gravy, I like french fries. Actually, I'm not a huge french fry fan. That's the problem with me not liking poutine, is that I don't
is
really
like... Is it poutine or poutin?
Poutine, if you're French.
This is coming in from Jeff from Quebec. Nice name. If you were to show a single match or a single show to someone to say, this is what ISW is truly all about, which would you pick?
I'd show them Burger King of the Ring, because that's the show that we put on that's... like basically universally loved, and you know, it's loved by the workers, it's loved by the fans who are in attendance. Anybody who's bought a DVD and told me about it has basically loved that show. You know, it had it all. It had the perfect mix of like the gimmicky comedy wrestling and the actual like really good like competitive wrestling matches. It had Eddie Kingston beating the shit out of Twiggy. You know, it had a panda doing a tope con Hilo. Shit like that is just really cool. I think that's what I'd like people to see.
Yeah,
you know, the party, fun, crazy atmosphere, like the vibe everything gave off, and it was awesome, despite how sweltering hot that building was that day and how miserable we all were.
I fucking hate Connecticut. Like, I'm just gonna blame Connecticut for that. Like, that was my first show, and I think most people are aware that was like, I like love that show, and that was like one of my favorite memories of 2012 was going to that show. And
2011.
Oh man, I'm gonna have so much fun next time. But yeah, like, that show's awesome. I do recommend people buy it on Smart Mark Video, because it's fucking rad.
It is rad.
Roch, thanks for coming on the show. Ganomania this weekend, Interspecies Wrestling. You can order the Interspecies Wrestling iPay-per-view Friday night. Check out It's Raining Mang has a couple posts about it. InterspeciesWrestling.com. And Roch, anything you want to take us out with?
I'd like to take you out on a date.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you put out on a first date, or?
Oh, I don't even go on dates, and I put out.
Ah, you're the best kind of slut.
What's a date? I thought we were just two people hanging out at my house.
A date's you and I going on a long walk on the beach where I figure out whether or not it's going to end with me sticking you to neck with a screwdriver.
And on that note, bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. I love stuff.
Get on your feet. Get up.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to It's Raining Mang, the podcast, the religious experience here on itsrainingmang.com. If all went according to plan, then you're hearing me twice. And this is the podcast I recorded first. So take that.
Internet.
Internet, mirrors.
Bad.
Take that, Kiefer Sutherland, bad movie.
Yeah, fuck you, SOPA. Got
stop
this shit down.
Stop my dick in your face. Anyways, we got the band back together, minus the Rusty Electric Mayhem. Alex Joe, Brian Hughes, back on the show. First time the three of us have been on together since the first episode, just the three of us.
Yeah, I know. We're the founders of this fucking shit, you know?
I just showed up. I just showed up and paid the site bill.
We were the first ones who wanted to go to war.
Yeah, man. Does the video game stuff, the Fun Time Arcade.
Are we really calling Joe Gagne?
Not this again.
Yeah,
no.
Greg Gagne.
He's much funnier than us. Don't do this.
Greg Gagne.
Tom's just going to edit in a snarky comment about us in his next video. It's not going to be. We don't want that happening.
Hey, any publicity is good publicity, except bad publicity.
That's the worst publicity.
Yeah.
Speaking of publicity,
yes.
This week on the site, we've dedicated our time to our favorite part of the year. Well,
the Survivor Series.
Yes, the Survivor Series. I hate you, Fitz. That's right, folks. It's Royal Rumble week here on the site. And so Brian's returned all the way from Asia, and Fitz woke up before noon to talk about...
And you still didn't.
Yeah. To talk about the Royal Rumble.
Yes, the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble. Royal.
Are you just going to keep repeating that? Aubrey Plaza? Well, you going to be Aubrey Plaza about this?
I'll do full disclosure here. I am currently... I've got a little late start here, but I'm trying to watch all the Rumble matches in a row. Partially, too, because I'm working on an article for the site that'll hopefully be up Thursday, but I'll be watching Royal Rumble number 1990 while we're here, while we're doing this podcast, and it's weird watching Tito Santana do his promo where he's making the same pose that the likeness of Tito Santana on his shirt is doing. It's really weird and really meta. Like, he's making a fist on the shirt very, very generically, like Tito Santana always was. And he's doing that in the promo, and I'm like, this is the weirdest thing ever. Oh, God, and Warrior's talking. Oh, no. Guys, let's keep talking. Let's move this along. Warrior's gonna be a while.
Yeah, Warrior, we'll stop talking around the time we finish the podcast. But yeah, the Royal Rumble, I know that for me personally, it is my legitimate favorite thing in wrestling. I like it more than Flying Space Tigers. I like it more than arm drags. I like it more than tournaments. I like it more than the Survivor Series. The Royal Rumble, every January, I get that feeling in my belly, and I get to shaking and smiling like I'm Buck Nasty, and it's so good.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Agreed.
Everyone gets that. It's great. It's Pascal likes it more than he likes sweaty dudes grappling.
And I love me some sweaty dudes grappling.
Yeah, especially when they're cute.
Yeah. Cute dudes grappling attitude. That's what I say. Oh, that's why I'm a big Dan Severn fan.
We saw Dan Severn last night.
Dan Severn, amazing. A competitor in the 1999
by Prince. And the Revolution.
Dan Severn in the 19, number nine, Royal Rumble. And at no point did he ever take his shirt off. He wore that, and he never took it off, nor did he appear to have ever washed it.
It was already sweaty at the beginning, but did it expand? Because that would be glorious. Why is Jesse Ventura... By the way, is that Tony Schiavone?
Yeah, Tony Schiavone. As far as Rumble commentators go, I think the Royal Rumble has always had a lot... Like, the first six or seven have such weird combos. It's Monsoon Ventura... Ventura.
McMahon and Ventura was the very first.
McMahon and Ventura. Ventura, Schiavone. Heenan, Monsoon. I believe Heenan, Monsoon is 93.
92 is also Heenan, Monsoon, and somebody else.
And then 94 is DiBiase McMahon, and 95 is Perfect McMahon.
Which, by the way, I gotta point out that Ventura is wearing this gigantic Mickey Mouse sweatshirt.
Oh, I remember that. Because
I don't
Florida,
understand
right?
why. I love it. Yeah, I guess so.
I think they're in Florida for that. And Schiavone is there randomly, too.
It is Schiavone.
Yeah, Schiavone was around for, like, I don't even know what... Like, I've never heard the story on why Schiavone randomly jumped ship. Also, I didn't know the Berserker was in the WWE for 3 years because he's in three straight Royal Rumbles. And I was like, still around? You were still around in 1993? Holy crap. Speaking of Royal Rumbles. All right, Fitz, favorite Royal Rumble.
I don't want to say 92 because everyone says 92.
Other than 92, let's just throw 92 is the best Rumble ever.
Can we all agree that 92 is easily the best one?
And yes, I agree.
Other than 1992.
Other than 92, it's got to go to 96, followed by 2000, even though the Attitude Era sucked balls. And
really, 96? Why 1996?
Yeah. I think it was the first full one I ever saw. It had Vader's debut in it, had Jake Roberts returning in it, it had fucking Doug Gilbert. It had Dory Funk was in that.
No, he was 95. 95, one of the Rumbles that doesn't count.
I'm pretty sure Dory Funk.
Oh, it doesn't count? Okay, I was gonna say 95, but alright.
95 doesn't count because that was the year they had a minute, and so like I went to go up to the bathroom and I came back and the Royal Rumble was over.
Yeah, Dory Funk was 96. That's right.
Was Dory Funk 96? I watched 96 over the course of 2 days.
If you check my article about the random Royal Rumble entries that was posted on his Reigning Ming, you would know that he was in fact 96. Or I'm just a big retard and I don't remember what I wrote. Dory Funk Jr., 1996. Nothing like having a former NWA champion get eliminated by Savio Vega. 96 also had some sick eliminations, too, in it, I believe. Remember Yoko tossing some fuckers over, heart style? The whole tension between Diesel and Sean at the end of it was pretty good.
Oh, that was great.
That one also had the Headhunters.
Yes, it did have the, as the Insane Clown Posse called them, Ponderosa and Sweden House, I believe.
96 also has that awesome moment where Vader and Yoko go head-to-head and just beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah,
and then Shawn Michaels somehow eliminates both of them because he's super strong, right?
Yeah, and then he like eliminates Cornette for no reason.
And then Vader eliminates Shawn Michaels, yet he's still allowed in the match. Vader throws everyone over the top rope.
Oh, yeah, because he got thrown over, and they're like, hey, it doesn't count. But yeah,
they
2002.
Really need to be consistent with that.
2002 is another one I liked a lot because of Mr. Perfect and
That was a stacked Rumble too. That Rumble
Gold
was
Dust, Boss Man, I think was in it.
Who was the other? The Godfather returned on that one too.
Yeah, he did too.
To like a huge fucking pop.
Oh
and
yeah,
and he danced with the girls longer than he was actually in the match.
That's right. Maven and Undertaker also happened.
That was 2002. Oh my God, 2002 was really good.
You know which one I feel like this one. I feel like this one kind of doesn't get enough love. I really like the story behind this one. And I'm not going to say 99. I know you guys just covered that one. I like 98 because I thought the story of Austin was a really cool one. That was the first time that the Rumble really had a huge story built around it like that. I mean, you know, 92 was the whole belt thing, you know. Okay, that was one thing. It was always just the Rumble. When Austin, like Austin's second Rumble win was the 29 guys versus Steve Austin. That was the story behind it. And it was actually really well. I thought it was really well done. Like, I loved the moment where everyone stops in the ring when his music hits. I thought that was just so cool.
Well, I think 94 kind of had that because 94 had the idea that that Luger wasn't allowed another title shot. The only way is if he won the Royal Rumble.
That's true. Yeah. And then Brett comes out and is like just bum knee and all.
Oh, it's so funny seeing how much the crowd would prefer Brett, like, to Luger. Everyone's like, Luger. I was like, Brett won! Oh my God, I love Canada! Luger.
I love Canada.
By the way, just because I remember, 1995 Rumble has the greatest moment ever, where 95? Owen Hart's walking out to the ring, and then he gets jumped by Brett and thrown in the ring. And a minute later, the dude from Well Done comes out, and as he's running out, there's a huge pop. And you think, man, Well Done, we're randomly over. But the way the camera was, it was just because Owen got eliminated as he was coming out.
98 also had the fucking Three Faces of Foley in the Rumble, which I thought was fun.
Yep. And also Tom
That was
Randy.
Just so much fun.
And Chainsaw Charlie.
Yeah. Some guy looked like Terry Funk.
And
he's not
Tom
gonna
Brandy.
Land on land. It did have Tom Brandy. He was number three. If you can name him number four, I'll be impressive.
I feel like if you're number three in the Rumble with the exception of Ric Flair, you're getting eliminated like in the first like 10 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, except for 98, 92. Oh, that's right. Number four was The Rock in that one. Wow.
Really?
Forgot, because The Rock was the Iron Man that year.
Yeah, Chubby Rock.
Oh, yes, the Iron Man. The favorite. Every year, there's always the Iron Man. The record for a while there was set by Martel and Valentine. And
Martel
then
was one of my favorite ones.
And then, Bob Backlund's my all-time favorite one. 1993 Royal Rumble. I remember people hating it. By the way, every year, I got to say this real quick. Every year, I was trying to figure out what the worst Royal Rumble was to do the deep hurting. And every year, if you look at, this is posted in 2008, this Rumble sucked. And we all are just like, that 2008 Royal Rumble was awesome.
Yeah, the last shitty
it's
Rumble.
It's always been 99, I think.
The last shitty Rumble I can remember is 06.
Does it, not because, 06 is Rey Mysterio, right?
Yeah, and it went on during
I
the middle of the
crazy
show.
I wasn't crazy about that one.
I think it's the only Royal Rumble I haven't seen.
It's
the Backlund Yoko one, I never saw when it first happened either. It was like years until I saw it.
Well, that's my earliest memory, is that,
my earliest
memory is, Randy Savage just got thrown over the top rope because he tried to, Randy Savage was the worst Rumble competitor in the history of the Royal Rumble.
He eliminated himself at least once.
He almost eliminated himself against attacking Jake Roberts. He no-showed one of the Rumbles, he was scared of the Ultimate Warrior. Hulk Hogan eliminated him because he's a bad friend. And then he tried to pin Yokozuna in the fucking Royal Rumble. And Hulk Hogan
and
is
also,
the greatest.
No, he did. He also eliminated himself as the Macho King by getting on the top rope and jumping down to somebody.
Oh, he did that for Roberts in 92.
Yeah, he did the fucking double axe handle.
No, he didn't. What happened was he jumped over the top rope to get Roberts.
Yeah, and they're like, you fucked up, but we'll let you back in anyways.
Because
why is Coco not affected by throwing his head into the turnbuckle? Is that a thing for black people as well as Samoans now?
Or was it
black people back then?
Way back then in the late 1980s. Back
when the WWF really didn't differentiate between Samoans and blacks. Like, he totally is not selling any sort of headshot.
It's the Rock theory.
Yeah.
Maybe because coconut? Maybe. That has something to do with it.
Look at you. Oh, never run at somebody against the ropes, Coco. You've got to fucking... Okay, I understand. It's only the third time they've done this. But come on! You don't run at somebody when they're against the ropes!
Brian, what is your favorite Royal Rumble?
I like 98.
98's your favorite?
I think 98 was a really good one. I don't know what my favorite one is. It's like picking your favorite child. when, you know, you don't want to have kids in the first place. They're all, like, awesome. Oh, hey, Pasco, you're in this Rumble. Now he's got to look up number three in the fucking
Rumble. I know who it is, and I hate you. I've already watched it. It's Mara Jannetty, for the record. People not watching TV.
We just got to pop out at least one listener.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's tough, because 92 is so amazing. Sean's first win was unbelievable. Like, I mean, all the ones you guys mentioned are really great ones. It's kind of tough to pick one from there.
95, when Shawn Michaels won, I was so pissed. Because I was just like, he was eliminated. Then I'm just like, no, his feet hit. No, God, no, his feet. Damn it. No, fuck. God damn it.
You know the old the overused term that, you know, sex is like pizza, even when it's bad, it's still good. I think Royal Rumbles are kind of like that. So, like, okay, yeah, they can suck, but, like, it's still a Royal Rumble. It's like, it's great, you're counting down. Like, I flat out said, I want to go to a Royal Rumble, but I will refuse to unless I'm front row. I will do that before I die.
Yeah.
Or before the WWF dies, because I think I can outlive the WWF. Just a theory. It's a shitty theory, but it's a theory. Like, I feel like, oh my God, Marty Schneider is getting way too much offense for facing Ted DiBiase in this. But yeah, I can't do anything other than I gotta go ringside, because I just see how much fun people are having at ringside. There's this one Rumble, I forget which one it is. I want to say, maybe it is 99, where, like, there's this row of guys in the front row who are just hilarious.
It's 99. Time. Yep, the guys that wave their arms in the air. Like,
yeah, they're bopping for Gangrel, and it's my favorite part of that Rumble every time. Is
they're better
Gangrel
than the actual
out.
Rumble.
Yeah, he comes out, and they're all fucking, like, doing the Bentley bounce. That's the only description I can make of it. It's the Bentley fucking bounce. They might have been the founders of the Impact Zone, for all we know. Oh, wow, okay, 90 was when they had music.
The Royal Rumble rules changed so much earlier. One year they didn't allow managers, then all the managers were there. I think Mr. Fuji was there at one point. We didn't even have a guy in the Rumble. Which I guess is Mr. Really? Fuji being lazy. Yeah, I was looking like, did Mr. Fuji manage any of these people? I don't think
so. No, see, the managers have to be there, because then you get the interaction between them, which you don't usually get, especially the heel manager, because most of the managers are heels, let's be honest here.
Like, the only face managers from that time period I can think of are, like, Oliver Humperdinck, and that was, like, 4 years prior.
And there was no Rumble. Yeah, Bam Bam was long gone before the Rumble started.
Yeah, like, and then they had Slick as the face manager for Kamala, and that's all I can think of.
Kamala was never in the Rumble.
Was he really never in a Rumble?
No, Kamala was supposed to be one of the Rumbles, but he was hurt.
Wow, right. Really?
And that's why I think that's one of the reasons that Bob Holly, I think, was in the first five Rumbles. He was in so many Royal Rumbles because someone got hurt every year, so they put him in.
Yeah.
I remember they debuted Quang early because of someone had to get...
No shit, really?
Huh. Yeah, Quang debuted at a Rumble.
1994.
He was a sub for somebody, I forget who.
Yeah, I wonder if Vader was a sub for someone either. Because I know he debuted at one of the Rumbles.
Well, Vader debuted, and the next night he beat the shit out of Gorilla Monsoon.
Oh, that's right.
One of the most traumatizing experiences of my childhood. Now, as far as Royal Rumbles, I think Shawn Michaels has to be up there in terms of the guys that set the standard for how to be in a Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking about guys like that, I think number two, if you're doing the all-time best, like, Royal Rumble competitors, fucking Mr. Perfect bumping his ass around every single goddamn Rumble has got to be up there. Yeah. And he was only in, like, four. Like,
yeah, 90, 89, 93, 91, maybe, in 2002.
And just, I can't think of any guy who was better at being
his last one. Yeah, the 2002 Rumble. Like, Austin and Triple H, the two biggest guys in the company, arguably, at that time, were trying to eliminate him. What's he do? Gum swat.
And he was over, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember being
oh, my God.
I remember being like, oh, Mr. Perfect's back. Who cares? Then I'm like, oh, my God, Mr. Perfect was perfect.
It was just, it was incredible. It was like, he brought his career back just for that night. It was amazing.
And it sucked when they did
the towel thing. It was so weird seeing him as a face, because there was no way they were going to boo him. They were not. So he had to. He just had to be the same guy, though. And he just worked. And they loved it. Like, he did the towel thing. It was great.
Yeah, and then they stuck him in a shitty tag team of Boss Man and had him, like, on the undercard of WrestleMania X8 against Van Damme.
I think that's got to be up there in terms of, like, guys that came back at the Rumble. Obviously, probably the most famous one is John Cena's return, which is one of my favorite wrestling moments. It just the people going, oh, my God, John Cena, wait.
Oh, we hate him. Boo.
Yay, boo. Like...
That is how you expose them. No, that was how they were exposed, as people who were forcibly hating him. Because they got so excited in the moment, and all of a sudden, oh, fuck, they got us. They got us.
Yeah, I mean.
2008, I think, 2002 with the Triple H return back when everyone loved him. And then he's really just squandered that goodwill over the years.
Can I just point out who's in the ring right now? I think it's number 7 just came in. It is currently Jake the Snake, Macho King, Ted DiBiase, and Roddy Piper just came in.
You reminded me of Jake the Snake coming back at the 96 Rumble.
Yeah.
96, where he has the biggest snake in the history of nature.
Yep.
That snake that was... One. Dude, that snake was like, you know the snake from Anacondas?
Yeah.
Jake Anaconda Snake from Anaconda. Jake Snake ate that anaconda.
So what you're saying is like, Jake Snake uses that snake as a condom to rape other snakes.
Lex Steel's penis looks at that snake and goes, damn, that thing's big.
Yeah, if I could be the science geek, I believe that he had a reticulated python that night, which is the largest species of snake.
Brian, okay. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but that thing had to have been, it was like its entire body was like taking up the ring.
I can't wait till someone cuts us up and takes it all out of context so it doesn't sound like we're talking about snakes.
It's got some goddamn girth on it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I just want to stick it right in my mouth.
Like, it was the worst, dude. Like, that snake couldn't be on a plane because that snake would be a plane.
That snake, if you attach wings on it, would make Orville Wright shit his
like,
pants.
Like, Buddy Holly could have flown on that snake and died. That's how fucking big that snake was.
No, Buddy Holly would have survived on that snake.
By the way, if you're a musician, why would you ever go on a plane that doesn't have 100 people on it? Like, it's this works. Like, I'm a successful musician. Let me take a private plane. Worked out for
Let alone with Pine. Fucking
worked out for Leah. Worked out for Buddy Holly. Worked out for all these musicians. Worked out for Randy Rhoads. Like, oh, let me get on a plane with less than 500 people.
Fucking John Denver.
Yeah, John Denver. Like, it's like, oh, I'm a musician learning to fly. It's like, oh. Oh, what are you doing, honey? Oh, I'm just calling the lawyer and making sure I get half.
This is one of the awkward moments in the Rumble that I'm watching that happens all the time when the ring is full of like a handful of guys, like maybe 5 at most, and they're all like legit guys, like they're mid card or higher. The buzzer rings and here comes the Warlord, and you're just like, okay. They all eventually got to come in. But it's like, one of these things is not like the other.
Me and Fitz
have a theory that when the Rumble isn't full of a lot of people at one time, it sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was the one problem I had with the 2010 Rumble, was that
there's a recent Rumble, there's no one
in the ring. Like, it was just nowhere.
It's like you're playing a video game done by Joe Gagne.
Yeah, it's like there's more people in Super Nintendo Royal Rumble. I was always Shawn Michaels. He could back body drop people over the top rope.
Yes, he could.
That was the easiest way to eliminate people, just to do his finisher over the top rope. Anyways, but, you know, the thing about the Rumble is that they tell those stories, different stories over the years, and they try to keep it different, because you got to figure, all the Rumbles, for the most part, have their own little stories, and none of them really end the same. You know what I mean? Like, I can't think of the same Rumble, two Rumbles having the same finish, at least since 1992.
And they can do it differently. Yeah, it does, and it does take a lot to be able to do it differently, because it's a Battle Royal, and you can only book a Battle Royal in so many ways, but it's, like, I want to picture, like, Pat Patterson and maybe a couple of his, like, cronies sitting in a room, like, just ashtrays full of used cigarettes, a bulletin board with all 30 names, just, like, splayed out, like, they're actually trying to craft the order, like, this pains them to do. I want to believe it's not easy to do this.
The Royal Rumble Selection Committee?
Yeah, just, like, Pat Patterson in a smoky room,
like
okay.
Fine, I'll go.
Not getting his vowels right.
I'll break kayfabe for a second. The PCW thing, we just did Torneo de Nada, okay? We basically had to book 4 Rumbles. I was basically handed, for the one that I called, I was handed a list of the 30 guys in order, and I had to basically come up with a story for that. I was told, okay, these are your last 5 guys, this is how it's going to work, have fun with the rest. That is not easy. That is way tougher than it sounds.
Yeah, and that's not a future of a company potentially being built. As far as the Rumble stories go, all right. Favorite Rumble finish?
Last year's, easily. Last year's. I don't care.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Last year's.
I'm going to be the guy that says Benoit Big Show, but which by the way, I love how WWE just keeps going out of their way to not mention Chris Benoit on the Rumble at number 1. Only 2 men have won to number 1, including WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. Like, and?
There will come a day when they're comfortable saying it again. There will come a day, just not now.
I can't wait till the day his name said on WTV. I'm going to mark that day on my calendar and be like, okay, we can all stop, we can make jokes about it now officially.
What's the South Park episode about AIDS? 10 years and how many days you gotta pass? Oh, who's coming in now? Oh my god, it's...
What?
Oh, it's Bad News Brown, and good, he had his baby from last year.
Oh, nice. Congrats to Bad News Brown.
Why do you guys...
He has one ab.
One singular ab.
Is he Eve? I like that joke. All right, why do you guys...
Like, that's a rib, but I like the joke anyway.
Yeah,
like,
why do you guys... Fuck you. Why do you guys pick last year's finish? Because I loved it. I thought it was awesome, too, and I'm really disappointed they just give it to Santino, considering they fucked over Del Rio anyways.
Because they did something that wrestling just... I hate to say it, in this day of age, when wrestling fans are so friggin' cynical, you can actually get someone... It's the same reason the Cena return was so awesome. Because you get fans to just kind of lose their shit for a moment and forget that they're cynical wrestling fans and just love something. And, like, we were all on Skype, and we turned off the call. And right when the match was over, we just all go, oh my god. Yep. That was incredible. Like, that was just so, like, okay, and Santino did it perfectly. From like, the looking around, from the crawling in the ring, to the looking around, to the sign of the cross, to, like, everything he does is so effing perfect in that.
Like, you notice the people in the front row are kind of looking at after Del Rio eliminated Orton, I think
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, you can see people pointing, like, people are realizing it.
Yep.
It's this moment where people suddenly get, you have an entire arena that slowly gets wise to this whole thing that's happening. And we really haven't had a guy in the last two who was, like, the underdog could win it. I don't get, no, Rey Mysterio, fuck that, no. Once he went the distance, you're like, he's doing it.
Well, I like the Benoit one just because of the way he did it, where he just choked the Big Show out until the Big Show slowly fell out of the top rope and the crowd lost their mind.
Yeah, it was very methodical. Like, it was a very different ending. Like, the ending's always this big elimination. That was just a very slow tilt, and then he's over, and it's, oh my god, he's over.
The sweet thing about this year is that one of the sweet things since the Rumbles, kind of like, since the roster split, I have no goddamn idea who's winning it this year. I could name maybe five or six guys I think might win. There's no clear favorite.
I have who I'm afraid they're gonna pick.
2012 Royal Rumble. Who do you think's gonna win, and who do you want to win?
I want it to be Dolph Ziggler because I want him to lose the title match and pull double duty, because that's why he's been pulling double duty all along. Honestly, if I had my way, he'd lose the U.S. title at the Rumble, then come back and win the Rumble. But I think I have this horrible feeling that they're going to give it to Orton because that's what they do.
That'd be bad. That'd be bad.
And there's really not a lot of build up to this Rumble. Like, I mean, what, they've announced three guys in it?
Yeah, Jericho and
Foley, Miz, and Truth.
Yeah,
Sheamus, Barrett, Mahal. All
right, then never mind. That's even better. I'm happy with it. One thing, there's one thing that bothered me at Raw. I hate when they fuck with the entrance. I hate when we know numbers beforehand.
I do too.
Hate it.
Oh, it's especially number 30.
Or one. I hate people fighting for the number one. I like being surprised.
Oh, real quick though, one thing about that is that one of my favorite things about the Rumble was the year that they did where Edge came back in 2010. Where Batista was number 30, and then Edge came out 29, and we all went, oh, crap, well, that's different. They fucked, they, like, because we thought, oh, we're not getting any big surprise this year, and then they did at the very end. Anyways, yeah.
And it was Edge.
I hate
when
they screw with the order. It's the worst.
Why I like what so they did with Batista. Like, they're trying to get him over as the heel and stuff, so people go, it's Batista, boo. I don't understand that.
With the Shawn elimination is what you're saying?
No, with Edge's... Mm-hmm. Back. Yeah.
I think Orton has a good chance to win it. I think Sheamus has a good chance to win it. I think Barrett could win it.
Heenan just pulled off a Fuji, then shoved him, and Fuji threatened him with a cane, and this is why managers need to be there.
They should just bring back Fuji just to stand outside the Royal Rumble, even when
seriously.
He's not, like, now. Old Mr. Fuji in a wheelchair.
They'll just wheel him down, and it'll be sad.
Shaking his cane at people. And then he'll stand up when no one's looking because Mr. Fuji was ribbing everyone.
What, he's going to pull the Freddie Blassie? That'd be awesome.
Mr. Fuji was Freddie Blassie, greatest rib of all time. That was actually a white man who you thought died. Nah, salt in your eyes. I hope number two this year, there's bring Morrison back for one night already. Wouldn't surprise me.
It'll be Joey Mercury, and they'll just pass him off as John Morrison.
But as far as, like, who I think's going to win and shit, I want Jericho to win. But I have a
Forgot about Jericho. Who fucking knows what he's up to?
Yeah, I'm hoping Jericho pulls some weird shit and wins it.
He's probably gonna eliminate. I think he's gonna eliminate himself like within a minute. It's gonna be something weird.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I have a bad feeling Orton's gonna win it.
I do really like what they've done with the Elimination Chamber, because it makes whoever wins, it makes the Rumble even that harder to predict, because sometimes they'll just switch the title belt. At Elimination Chamber.
The Red Rooster just got the weirdest pop ever.
Like, last year, Del Rio won the Royal Rumble, and then... Who was the champion? It was...
That's right, Edge was the champion.
Edge was the champion. but they're limiting it down to Edge and Rey Mysterio. So you went, I don't know who's going to win. And then the idea of making the other one the number one contendership makes it that much more interesting, too, because you don't know who's challenging for what.
Right. It's a day where they don't it's a time now where they don't do slow burns, because I like it better when they can build up a match 3 months in the making. But I mean the way they do it is by having them face off every week, so it does make sense. It gives you something new to do.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like there's any. I think Orton's the only return, and that's barely a return. So you know what? I think it'd probably be what, Orton Daniel Bryan. That could be fun. I don't know if. I just want Daniel Bryan to make it to WrestleMania and CM Punk to make WrestleMania's champion. I don't care who wins the Royal Rumble. Like, I really don't, as long as one of those two is in a Rumble in a WrestleMania main event.
That would be kind of insane.
So I guess Cena can't be in the Rumble this year, can he? No, he won't be. Cena won't be in the Rumble. This is a game changer. There's a lot of guys, like Punk and Cena aren't going to be in the Rumble. Yep. And then Big Show is going to wrestle Shaq. He's not winning. Mm-hmm. Like, who even knows what's going
on? He really is.
I hope so. I would like it.
Is that confirmed? I mean, I don't know.
I think it'd be fun.
I mean, God bless the Big Show. God bless that man for putting up with all this stuff. Like, Mayweather, Akebono, now Shaq. I mean, don't get me wrong. Him versus Shaq might be the most fun thing ever. Oh, my God, it's Axe.
Him and Mayweather was actually, like, really good, considering what the potential for it was.
Yeah,
it was
I agree with that.
It was all right.
It was adorable.
I wouldn't go that far.
Has anyone thought
about it possibly being Taker?
Taker's, who even knows? I don't even know if Taker has an arm anymore.
I just don't want that.
Yeah, he may be the cat.
I'm going to be so pissed when they do Triple H Taker too. I wanted Taker, I wanted Taker Sheamus. I wanted Taker to lose to Sheamus and go away. I wanted him, like for his own health.
Yeah, I still have a place in my heart for Taker. I want him to go out the right way. So,
well, in that case, since you mentioned another guy, what about Triple H? Is it always possible? I mean, because
they basically
planted the seeds of him screwing over Punk.
Yeah, hopefully. I really
hope Triple H doesn't come back at the Rumble. I honestly think whenever he's off TV, life is just better as a whole.
What about what he's in a role like Laurinaitis' role where he feuds with Punk as like an Austin McMahon Part 2 thing?
I'm sick of the Austin McMahon shit, though.
I only like the Laurinaitis Punk thing because Laurinaitis is such a goober, and because it's real. Because it's, like, a real thing. I just, the thing is, if they're positioning Punk as Austin 2.0, and it's just, like, I like it, but at the same time, it's, like, just try something new.
Yeah.
Punk, I don't like that Punk Punk started as anti-authority, and now Punk's anti-authority doesn't agree with. Like, I didn't like that he became friends with Triple H. I think that's the worst fucking thing. That whoever decided that should be fired. Then they should rehire him. Then they should fire him and cut his benefits.
Like, hold on, guys. A moment. Let's all stop. I believe that would be Haku.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yay.
That means drink. Two minutes of applause for Haku. No, we're not going to do 2 minutes of applause. But...
All right, we're done with that.
Yeah, that's good. Good applause, guys. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, good applause. Nice. Woo! Nice hand
lasted
movement.
22 minutes. He lasted 22 minutes and 31 seconds.
Yeah, that's
holy shit.
That's just because he got awesome. Tired.
He lasted that long.
He found out there's an eyeball that needed to get ripped out in the back.
I guess. Wait,
Haku did? Nice. I love how Haku came in the 01 Rumble, fucking with the WCW. Like, he is still WCW Hardcore Champ.
I was so confused by
that hair.
I was like, why are they calling
that? Oh, that hair.
Meng. I was like, that's Meng. What are you talking about, Jerry Lawler on commentary?
Shut up. It actually reminded me that I forgot that he was the same person.
It's weird when people do that. Like, they just change their name, and they're just, like, a totally... They don't change their gimmick that much, but Haku's one of those guys.
I just assumed it was another freaking Islander. I didn't realize... For the longest time, I didn't realize that Haku and Meng were the same person. Legit. I'm not even making that up.
I didn't know Golgo was Earthquake until, like, after Earthquake died.
Oh, neither did I for a while, yeah.
Yeah, that was a shocker.
That big old idiot. Not Earthquake, Golgo. Two different people.
Shit, don't get me started on Mr. America.
Yeah.
I could not crack that code.
Don't knock Mr. America. He's my favorite wrestler when I was a child.
What? Are we back to this thing? Where, like...
Yes, we are.
Where Fitz started, like, wrestling, like, years after I realized that wrestling was fake. It's not... Wrestling's not fake!
It's not fake!
Maybe Jim and King will win this year.
Oh, maybe. He is the best wrestler after all.
Better than all the wrestler.
By the way, Demolition Smash just did an awesome thing. He got in the ring and then had his hands over his head for the double axe handle and did a run across the ring to double axe handle Andre the Giant. It just looked so silly. Like, I want, like, not now, but like, anyone listening, I want you to get up wherever you're listening to this. Put your hands ready to do an axe handle and just run about 20 feet before doing it. And realize
like
how
the Shane Hawk. Yeah, Shane Hawk used to do those all the time.
It was just so silly. It looks, and it's, but it's Demolition Smash and his bondage gear and his face paint. It looks silly.
Oh,
it's the move called the poor planning move.
Yeah, it's like
he's going after him with the this won't end well.
Yeah, it's the move that when Ted DiBiase does it, he gets smacked in the stomach and does a flip bump.
By the way,
that would fail.
By the way, Mike Falcone arrow, book it.
I like it, the Mike Falcone arrow.
You see that on Twitter? Oh, it's so good.
I mean that wins, Mike Falcone. Arrow.
I think that Mike Falcone.
I love that.
Is the best.
I do love that
move of all time. I don't know anyone who does a Falcone arrow, but.
Fabulous Matthew Foster.
Fabulous Matthew Foster is now the fabulous Mike Falcone.
The shitty Mike Falcone arrow. Yeah. Sorry, Mike. It's called we call it the shitty Falcone arrow. It's we gotta just add it in there. It's nothing against you. I just love the fact that we named it the shitty Falcone arrow. That's awesome.
I wish more indie guys would be that honest.
Yeah.
Like I was thinking, like, nope.
Coming to the ring, the shitty named guy, wearing his shitty gear.
Wearing his shitty pleather shorts.
Doing shitty arm drags.
Doing a fucking haircut.
That is no way to talk about Tom Zenk.
Tom Zenk, never in a Royal Rumble.
Abe Lincoln, never in a Royal Rumble.
Also, are we going to play that game?
Who'd he be?
Hall of Fame boxer Jack Johnson, never in a Royal Rumble.
Abe Lincoln, who'd he be? Douglas?
Abe Lincoln really knew how to sell theater.
He
was blown away by the acting.
Too soon.
Too soon. It's a Benoit joke. Too soon.
Oh, God.
Mary Todd Lincoln's dogs are in the enclosed... Oh, okay.
In the enclosed White House lawn area.
My physical address is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
The dogs are enclosed in the 4 score and 7 pool areas. Let go.
I was
going to
the 4 score horsemen.
That's a fucking stretch.
The 4 score horsemen.
Yeah.
The 4 score horsemen.
Tender and text the General Sherman.
It'd be Sherman. Right, it'd be Lincoln, Grant, Sherman, and someone else, I guess. I don't want to put Andrew Johnson in it.
And J.J. Dillon.
And J.J. Dillon for no reason. Fuck it. Yeah.
Man, we really gotten to the point where we're doing Abe Lincoln professional wrestling jokes.
Sorry.
Because Jimmy Snuka came out.
Would that make the Confederate States the New World Order?
They would. They would be.
They were trying to take over.
Robert E. Lee, Hulk Hogan.
No, so I'm gonna go ahead and bring it back to the Rumble because Jimmy Snuka just came out.
He doesn't do good in the Rumbles because they're not over hotel balconies.
I was gonna say they're not out windows. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise he'd be so good.
Yeah, and it's got 29 hookers in the ring either. Man, the Godfather came out. No, fucking. All right, this will happen. Snuka's in the Rumble. Godfather comes out. Snuka jumps over the. Goes outside the ring, grabs a bunch of the hookers, starts throwing them over the top.
Declares himself winner of prostitution.
Yeah, and then he just does a line of blow in the middle of the ring, and then does a handstand.
And then gets eliminated by, like, I don't know, Tyler Rex.
Brother, you hit the
It reminds me of the Snuka Piper moment, which, again, I'm tipping my hand at this point for my article, but it got the entire ring to mark out. There's clear shots of Punk and Morrison, who have been feuding in ECW, like smacking each other and pointing, going, hey, take a look at this.
Roddy Piper's MVP of the first few Rumbles, by the way.
You're not counting 88, right?
No, 88, that's not a real Rumble. 88 is not.
I just want to make sure he wasn't in it, yeah.
88 is just a battle royal where they all were just late to the ring.
Including Nikolai Volkov, who came one spot too early.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, he came out with like whoever was the one before him. And then they basically made him wait. And while he was waiting, Boris Zukov got eliminated. It was weird. Oh, hey, Dino Bravo. Make your jokes, guys. Get your jokes in quick, guys.
Dino
Bravo might have been the worst fucking wrestler of all time, by the way.
Oh, he was so bad.
He was like... Oh, by the way, Brian, I don't think you read The Deep Hurting yet, but when me and Fitz... This is to show you how far time has come.
I glanced at it, yeah.
In 1999, when X-Pac came out, Michael Cole goes, at 210 pounds, X-Pac is the lightest competitor in WWF Royal Rumble history.
Nope.
And we went, he's like the heaviest guy if he was in it now.
Yeah.
He's bigger than everyone.
He would not even be a cruiser anymore.
He'd be heavier than both the world champions.
Well, it's like I'm watching it and every single person in the ring has a gut. Like, I don't care. It could be a muscle gut. It totally is. Like, Dino Bravo, he's got a gut. Demolition, got guts. I mean, they're all... these guys are like... Again, they weren't being gymnasts, essentially.
Yeah, but they knew how to work.
Dusty Rhodes, surprisingly svelte.
Also, for all the shit Al Snow gives people about knowing how to work, in the 1999 Royal Rumble, he took the worst fucking strategy time.
He sucked.
Al Snow is trying to get over Kurgan, so he climbs over the top rope, and Road Dogg just looks at him and just pushes him out. it's so funny. Awesome. It's like, okay, you always have a kid's day don't work. At what point did any kayfabe terms the strategy of going over the top rope yourself help? You fucking backwards writing idiot.
Yeah, that's amazing. I forgot about that.
Al Snow's the worst.
He is.
I used to love Al Snow.
I did too. He's one of my favorites, and then he became a giant cockbag. Yeah, Kedcheese and tough enough trainer. I'm kidding.
There's only one pop in a match. It's like there's only one pop in your match. When people aren't able to watch you wrestle anymore.
Yeah, it's the one pop in the match where you job to a bigger star, you fucking twat.
Yeah.
Al Snow.
I just want to have a moment where I can walk up to Al Snow, who's standing, and just mutter condescendingly to him, "Sit down."
I just got that.
That's a tough enough reference, motherfuckers.
Tough enough.
Oh no, there goes Dusty. No, not earthquake.
Not earthquake. Oh no.
When a large balded man clotheslines you over the top rope, that's hard time.
And on that Dusty Rhodes impression, I think we're going to wrap this up here on It's Raining Mang. I hope you guys enjoy.
It's still going on. Which, by the way, one thing I noticed, they've always been cheating with the intervals. Like, I mean, when it's 2 minutes, it's really a minute 40. When it's 30, when it's 90 seconds, it's really like, you know, 75. When it's a minute, it was like fucking 30. Early on, like, I just watched the 90 Rumble, and I'm watching the 89 Rumble, and I'm watching the 90. I wouldn't be surprised if the 90's the same way. They were legitimately 2 minute intervals. Like, they were not a minute 45. They were 2 friggin' minutes.
Yeah.
That's insane.
They need to do that. They just need a set clock. I want a set clock at the bottom. It starts over every 2 minutes, just to make sure everything's official and shit. Also, no masters.
If they do that, I'm cool with them going down to 90 seconds, because I gotta say, two minutes is a long time. You're realizing when you're watching, you're like, oh my god, 2 minutes is a long time.
Truly.
I mean, there's no problem with everyone. Everyone gets their shit in, and they get everyone else's shit in, too. Jesus.
Like I was gonna say, Mel Masters didn't let anyone else get their shit in. Fucking retard.
Yeah, can we talk about the AAA? Was that AAA when they linked with? Was it CMLL? I don't remember.
It was AAA.
Yeah, that was a weird rumble.
Yeah, like I think 8 or 7 guys were
playing. Cybernetico, Piroth, Latin
Love
Lover.
Machine. Yeah, Latin Lover, not Love Machine. Our part is dead a long time. Phil Mascaris.
I think it's incredible that's the same Cybernetico who fucking is wrestling without a mask on AAA for like years now.
Yeah.
I assume.
It's the same Cybernetico that comes to Jakar every year and wrestles 16
guys.
Oh,
yeah, I saw him.
That guy.
Amazing. Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's pretty good, you know. He took on 16 guys. I was impressed.
Never wins, though. I mean, it's always someone in one of the 16 guys who wins.
We're gonna end the show on this note. I want Cybernetico and Cybernetico so it can be Inception. Blah. Recorded this just in case anyone listened to right after the Inception song. There's no more episode. Why are you listening to the entire Inception song? It doesn't have words. What are you doing with your lives? Get a job.